As I've southbound just south
Blog Talk Radio.
On 157, a recent collision partially blocking the two right lanes. Good thing no medical aid, fire assistance, and state patrol have all been dispatched to the scene to take care of that collision. Stay tuned, coming up next. After the news weather, it's the Transformation Talk Radio Network, and it's Transformation with Martine.
This report is sponsored by Tire Rack.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. President Biden's on his way to Poland after a surprise visit to Ukraine earlier today, ahead of the first anniversary of Russia's invasion. He met with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and announced the U.S. will be providing another $500 million in aid to the war-ravaged country.
That announcement includes artillery ammunition for HIMARS and howitzers, more javelins, anti-armor systems, air surveillance radars to help protect Ukrainian people from aerial bombardments.
The White House also released a statement from the president. It read in part that he'd made the trip to reaffirm America's unwavering commitment to Ukraine's democracy, sovereignty, and territorial integrity. Biden went on to note that when Russian President Vladimir Putin launched this war, he thought Ukraine was weak and the West was divided. Biden said he thought he could outlast us, but he was dead wrong. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said after the president left that Russia was notified of the secret trip to avoid a possible incident while the president was there. Jimmy Carter's church is asking for prayers for the former president. It was announced over the weekend that the 98-year-old Carter will spend his remaining time at home with his family under hospice care. Julie Ryan with more.
The Carter Center said in a statement Saturday that he'll no longer seek additional medical intervention with full support from his family and medical team. Last summer, the 98-year-old former commander-in-chief announced that he had melanoma that had spread to his liver and brain. Carter occupied the Oval Office from 1977 to 1981.
A prayer leader at Maranatha Baptist Church in Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, led their congregation in prayer for the former president. And with the state now having rested its case in the Alex Murdaugh double murder trial, proceedings are scheduled to resume tomorrow in South Carolina. Court is not in session today due to President's Day. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Nearly 3,000 teen drivers die in car crashes each year. Tire Rack Street Survival is designed to save lives. The one-day hands-on driving school gives teens experience in car control through exercises that include emergency braking and skid recovery. Find a class near you at TireRack.com/survive.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Monday and for your President's Day. Mostly cloudy skies and rain at times today. High temperatures around 48 degrees. Tonight, the rain will hang around, and that wind will pick up. Wind out of the south to southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting up to 20 to 25 in selected areas. Low temperatures down to about 39. For Tuesday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures around 46. However, Tuesday night, chance of mixed rain and snow back in the picture. Lows back down to a chilly 32. For Wednesday, slight chance of mixed rain and snow showers yet again. High temperatures not that much warmer, around 38.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Transformation with Martine. Conquer everything and compromise nothing. This show brings you real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. If you have never liked small talk and have been on a personal growth journey for a long time, stay tuned as Martine and her guests share empowering stories. Now is the time to own your past and look toward your future with hope. Believe in your dreams, and all that you want to achieve is possible. Transformation Coach Martine helps you accept and love you for you. It's time to listen to your heart and tap into your unlimited potential. You have the answers you need inside. Sometimes you just need the right guide to help allow transformation to happen. Transformation with Martine starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martine, where you conquer everything and compromise nothing. I am kind of, you could say, on location today. My husband is in Missouri, so I decided to visit him. It's been over a month that we saw each other, so it's nice to be here, and it's also like, as you know, when I introduce my guest, I know she's going to know exactly what I'm talking about, because in personal development, you know, we got to put ourselves in these really uncomfortable places. And right now I'm uncomfortable. I don't have my my lighthouse backdrop. I don't have everything set up. I don't have my microphone. I don't have things that I'm used to for this. So I'm a little nervous that we might just flip out or something's going to happen. But the universe has us. God has us. We are good. And I know that today with my guest, we're going to bring you an awesome show. And without further ado, I want to welcome my friend who is somebody I've been, you know, and a lot of my guests have I've known for a while, which is so amazing. And she's just an amazing guru and is trained under the best. And without further ado, welcome Karen Kenny.
Hey, thank you so much. The first thing I have to say is I never use that word guru. I always say I'm nobody's guru. Your own guru exists within you. And that word guru has different connotations and meaning depending on who's translated it. And sometimes it means, you know, someone who brings light to the dark, or somebody who brings truth to ignorance, or something that is so dense and heavy it's kind of unmovable. But it's an important distinction. You didn't do anything wrong. It's an important distinction for me when I get called that or whatever, and I always say the only guru I am is of myself, and hopefully I can be helpful to other people so that they find their own inner guru.
I love that.
Thank you, bro. Because I think, you know, a lot of times in the way, you know, certain organized religions or spiritual structures or whatever get set up is that in a lot of ways it creates unhealthy codependent relationships, and it disempowers the people who are actually like looking for support or guidance or help. And I always say, you know, when you hire a coach or a mentor or anybody who's helping you with transformation, like, you know, we're pointing to particular things. And what we're usually pointing to is back to your own inner teacher. And I always say, don't fall in love with the pointer. Mm-hmm. Fall in love with what we're pointing to. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I love that. And I'm glad that you made that distinction because, you know, it's like some people like you, and things that I've heard from you and knowing what you've been through, it's just like, ooh, you know, just really cool. So it just makes me think of, you know, the term guru and, you know, some of the things you even read by Rumi or Eckhart Tolle, you know, just these kind of people. It's just like, wow, just like just a little bit of their information is like just gets you in this whole path, like just thought process and like, oh, okay, how can I hone in on this and how can I just live my best life?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah, so just thank you so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited to be here, and I can't wait to have this conversation. And listeners, if you can hear the sound of my voice, thank you for tuning in.
Yes, absolutely. And doesn't she have, like, a wonderful accent? It's so, you know, it's just, I am, as Jacob knows, and, you know, a lot of my producer here and a lot of people know, I love accents. It doesn't matter how they are, where they come from, male, female, it doesn't matter. It's okay. You know?
Yeah, I have a Boston, so it's a Boston accent, and I love accents as well. So in fact, my Phoebe and I were just laughing because I was Siri, you know, on your iPhone. Like,
yes.
Siri does never, ever, ever, ever understands what I'm saying, like, ever. And so he went out for a run, and I said to him, I'm laying on the floor at the gym doing lying leg raises, right? Abdominal, lying leg raises. So I say to him, how was your run? I'm just finishing up my lying leg raises. And all of a sudden Siri sends to him, lying like raisins. I was like, what? I'm not lying like raisins, Siri, because she can never understand my accent. It's just funny that you say that.
Well, you know, I really think that you should change Siri to what I have. I call him Nigel. He's my British.
Even better.
He talks to me instead. I prefer that.
Even better.
Right? So why don't we talk about, like, at least, your journey, maybe in the beginning, how did you get started, like, on a path of development, which I know is many years ago, and you've worked with some pretty cool people. So, like, how did this start for you? What made you go on this path?
Assuming, I don't know if, you know, people know so to sum it very quickly, I'm a spiritual mentor, I'm a life coach, I'm a certified integrative hypnotist. I am, I've been a yoga teacher for over 25 years. I'm a writer, speaker, podcast host. I do a lot of things, right? Gateless writing instructor, whatever. So, and the reason why I'm bringing all that up is not to just be like, oh, aren't I fancy, but to just give an idea of, like, I've always been a really curious kid because that's an important part of my journey. So I follow my curiosity and I follow the call of my heart. So that's an important preemptive thing to this. So, you know, like a lot of people, I had a very challenging and difficult. I was murdered when I was 12 years old, very violently, brutally. She was beaten to death. And that the events kind of leading up to that and then what happened after that, my life was just never the same again. And it wasn't just like, oh, my mother was missing. It was like, now we have nowhere to live. My mother and my stepfather were separated at the time. He didn't want us. And so I ended up going to live with my sister with strangers, people I didn't know, an aunt and uncle who I didn't know. So I was really kind of emotionally on my own from like 12 on, but then definitely physically on my own from 17 on when I moved out of their house. So I lived with them for about 4.5 years, maybe 5 years, from 12 to 17. And then at 17, I went to Boston University. I went to college. So there's a lot of confusion, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of disillusionment, a lot of fear, like so much fear in my childhood. I grew up in Lawrence, Mass., which is a little immigrant city, about 30 miles north of Boston. And I used to say how even the language of my childhood was violent, just the way that we talked to each other, you know. It wasn't uncommon for people to just things that, like, you go to the West Coast sometimes, and I went to live in L.A., and, you know, East Coast people, we just kind of talk to each other a little differently sometimes. So, mm-hmm. So it was just, a childhood filled with a lot of trauma. And mm-hmm. So because back then, so I'm 54, right? So back then, there weren't really, like, life coaches and stuff like that. But what there were books. And this is what I always say. So books were my first teachers and mentors and spiritual, you know, guides and things like that. Books saved my life. I've always been a lover of words and reading. And that's one of the gifts my mother gave me, is a love of reading and books and words. I always said we didn't always have food in the house, but we always had books. And I had a library card. And library cards, they basically even the playing field for poor kids, you know what I mean? And so it was a huge gift for me. And so as I was trying to, I always say I was my first client. I went first, and I was trying to figure out, like, how do I stop feeling so awful? Like, I was terrified all the time. I had so much fear. I was so sad, and I felt like I was on a certain level tasked with trying to figure out how to move past this thing that had happened, or move through, or understand this awful thing that had happened to my mother. And so I went basically on a quest. I went on a journey to kind of figure it out. And it's not like I was like, you know, 13, 14 going, I'm going on a quest. It's really that I just started. The outside world was so unpredictable, and people, I was suspicious of other people. I didn't feel like I could trust other people. So much in my life felt it just changed too quickly, too often. Nothing was stable. I didn't feel safe. Nothing felt secure. Mm-hmm. And I said, but the one thing is that God had never let me down. I was really clear that it wasn't, you know, sometimes awful things happen and people will say, why did God let this happen? And for me, I was never confused. I was like, God didn't do any of this. This was a guy. This was a human being in his flawed humanity who made this decision, right? So I never did this whole raging thing against, you know, the divine or a higher power. And so for me, I was like, I felt like I could always rely on something greater than me, and mm-hmm. I could go within and trust something that was in me. And that was a long process, learning to trust myself, my inner teacher, my inner voice, my intuition, all of that. So long story short, in a desire to end my own suffering, I gathered a lot of tools. I met a lot of spiritual teachers. I traveled and did spiritual pilgrimages, like at a young age. And so I've been on this journey for, you know, I'm 54, so 40 some odd years, gathering tools, resources and whatever, so that now I can in turn, you know, go back and help others. And there's a great quote that I got in a fortune cookie once that said, you know, a mentor's hindsight becomes your foresight. And so that's now what I like to do, is to help other people who are trying to, you know, move through their own grief or suffering or habits they don't want or stories they need to change, et cetera.
Yes. And, you know, that's a, like, for someone who left home at 17 as well, I understand that. And I remember, like, just, like, the night my dad dropped me off, it was, like, it was pouring rain. And he had just, it was, like, he and sister were going this night. And, like, what my little mattress, I just had a twin mattress and a little bit of belongings and was in the back and it was soaking wet. And I remember going into this apartment that I was going to share with my half-sister, which I'd only met once. Going in there and just like that night, just like, okay, trying to set something up. The power wasn't on yet. Going in the dark, trying to, okay, well, I'm going to take this bedroom, I guess. And trying to set things up and having a wet mattress. And it's just like going to bed and just crying myself to sleep. And I did for often for a while thinking, what am I doing? But I know I can't be there.
Right.
And, but there's like something that, it's the same as when I was diagnosed with cancer. It's like I kind of tuned out, like, what the heck is going on? But then the same kind of power at diagnosed with cancer at, what was I, 40-something. And then same with it, 17, just like this inner warrior coming like, okay, I got to rely on me and I got to do something. And that seems to be like the same with you. It's like you had to turn to something, and books was something for you, the exact same for me. Metaphysical bookstores were my passion. I'd spend hours in that.
Yeah, me too, for sure. All kinds of bookstores. Like, just put me around the books, and my nervous system would just kind of, like, down-regulate in a really good way.
Yes. So you started with books. We're going to take a break in a moment. You started with books. Was there, for me, it was like I remember, and I can't remember what age I was. This book's been out a long time, but I'm seeing it resurface now. Woman Who Won with the Wolves was one of my favorites.
Clarissa Pinkola Estes. It was a book, one of my life-changing books as well. Incredible. But I'll tell you, when we come back from break, I'll tell you, the book story that led me to one of my main mentors and spiritual godmothers.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. And Karen and I will be right back. Thank you.
Is your goal to get healthy and strong? Do you feel good in your body? Visit Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. They have served the community Ethiopian, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free food for the past 18 years. Owner Zion Tedessa also founded Sheba Farm, where she grows a gluten-free grain called teff. Zion is also the founder of Shasha Monet Institute for Alternative Holistic Natural Medicine. For more information, visit queensheba.com. That's Queen, SHEBAS.com. Are you frustrated and stuck by the endless loop of internal judgment and critical, fear-based self-talk constantly echoing in your head? Are you ready to step through the door to new ways of thinking? Tracy Berger is a certified Martha Beck Wayfinder Life Coach who can support you in transforming your thinking in both your personal and professional life. Learn more about Tracy's coaching and her April 2023 Peace and Purpose Retreat at TracyBerger.com.
New year, new home. The new home is on your list of resolutions. Now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Adobe Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today. 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Karen Kenny, and we are talking all types of transformation, and we are going to get into owning your magic very soon here. But we left off talking about books that that really kind of led us on a journey, both of us leaving home at 17 and just being on a quest to find a better way to live, to take care of the pain inside. Mm-hmm. So, Karen, what were some of the books that really touched your heart and then led you to one of your main mentors?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, people always laugh when I say this. So I talk about having a spiritual team, and I always say, oh, spiritual team on the job, right? And so growing up, for sure, right after my mother was killed, like I was 12 years old, I was a reader, and I first discovered Stephen King. And people often laugh at that because I say Stephen King was is on my spiritual team. And I ended up meeting him when I was like 18 years old, which is a story for another day. His books literally like saved me at that age, and I have such a warm spot in my heart for him. And people always think of him as like the king of horror, but there's actually a lot of humanity in his books, and it really helped me. So that was like, I just have to do that little plug for that. But it's probably one of the greatest books. Like also in college, I read a book called Women Who Love Too Much. And I'll never forget being horrified identifying myself on those pages. But that one threw me for a loop. So that was a really big one at that age when I was like probably 19 years old. But what really kind of turned the ship for me is when I was living in Los Angeles, I was there at the height of like, we're talking like 91 to like 98. 99 that time. And that was like the boom, and it was like Oprah and Marianne Williamson and Tony Robbins and Jan LaVanzant and Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra, like everybody, Louise Hay, like everybody was like in that area, right?
Yep.
And so one day I was at the bookstore, because that's where I often spent time. Even if I had no money, I would just go to the bookstore and hang out. And I was walking, I was over, at the time I was like into personal fitness. I was a personal trainer, and lift, I've always been a gym rat, love to lift weights and stuff. And I was in one section of the bookstore where it was like the fitness mags and the muscle mags. And all of a sudden I literally hear a voice in my head say, and it was not my voice, say, you should go to the self-help section because you could use some help.
Wow.
And I was like, whatever. So I just started over to the, back then, the self-help section. I was the only one in the aisle. And as I was walking down the aisle, literally a book just fell off the shelf and like landed at my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And divine intervention or whatever. And so I looked down, and looking up from me, you know, up at me from the floor was a picture of a woman, and she kind of like had her head, her chin resting on her hand.
Yeah.
And it said on the front, "I return to love."
Uh-huh.
Reflections on the principles of, you know, the Course in Miracles. And I was like, who's this broad? I was like, who's this lady, right? But I pick it up and I read the cover and I say, well, I could use a miracle. And I was like, okay. And I opened it up. And this was before, like, bookstores had chairs, like boarders, where you could, like, sit in the chairs and hang out all day. So I open up the book and I start to read. And I say two things happen. I simultaneously become amazed, because I had never heard anybody, as a kid who was raised Catholic or whatever, I had never heard anybody talk about God and forgiveness and stuff like that in that way. So I was immediately intrigued and fascinated. And then I was also immediately pissed off, because it was the first time somebody had ever said, well, you have a choice and you get to be responsible for your own happiness and your own suffering. And so I had these two, like, push-pull things, but I was so fascinated and curious and pulled in that I literally, I'll just never forget, I crossed my legs and I just sat on the floor and I just poured through that book. And I always say, A Return to Love is the gateway drug to A Course in Miracles. And that's when I got introduced to A Course in Miracles, which is a huge, you know, 1,200-page book.
Yes.
And so those two books absolutely changed my life. And it was from there, like I said, at that bookstore in Burbank, California, where I also picked up Women Who Run with the Wolves, with Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Essays, Motherless Daughters from Hope Edelman, that changed my life. But so, I mean, look, we don't have enough time to list all the books, but I will say that A Return to Love was a game changer. And, you know, I was broke at the time, so I didn't have a car. I was taking public transportation and the bus everywhere. But one of the first things I did when I got a vehicle is that Marianne Williamson, used to do weekly lectures on A Course in Miracles at the Wilbur Theater in L.A. So I started going to those lectures. And then she had a workshop, like a day-long thing, workshop at the Agape Church, where Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith. That's his chirp, Agape. And so I went there and I got to meet him and do all that. And then I asked a question. I stood up and asked a question at one of, at that event. And she was doing a whole thing on relationships. And I got up to the mic. I thought I had my question. But when I opened my mouth, something else came out. And I was asking her, I said, I don't understand this whole forgiveness thing. Mm-hmm. And then she asked me, do you have something to forgive? And I said, yeah, you know, my mother was murdered, and she started coming to me, brought me up on stage. We had this unbelievable experience that was life-changing, and everybody in the audience was, like, bawling. And then afterwards, one of her assistants came up to me and said, you know, Marianne wants to talk to you. And so pulled me aside, whatever, and she took my number. And whatever, the long story short is, she ended up calling me. I ended up meeting with her at David Kessler's house, and David Kessler is one of the leading experts on grief, and he's done a lot of work with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and he's incredible. So through that, I ended up, you know, doing all these things, going on spiritual pilgrimages to, like, Egypt and England and Ireland to Merlin's Cave and Glastonbury Tor and the Great Pyramids of Giza. And so, again, so I'm in my 20s traveling around the world doing this work to heal myself and, again, gathering resources and tools and all this stuff that went on to become, which led me to becoming a yoga teacher, which led me to becoming a spiritual mentor, et cetera, et cetera. So I was just following my own curiosity and my own path, again, in a desire to end my own suffering, but along the way, I put a lot of stuff in what I call the spiritual toolkit. And now I share those tools, whether it's integrative hypnosis, spiritual mentoring, coaching the conscious and unconscious mind, hypnosis, whatever the thing is, to help others to now get out of their own way, to tell better stories in their own favor, and to, you know, reprogram their subconscious mind and to tell better stories about themselves. So it has been my, you know, and this is the whole point of the own your magic.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what do you mean by that? I said, well, in owning, what I mean by own your magic, first of all, it's the name of a retreat that I'm doing in April, but it's also a way of looking at ourselves. I say you have to be willing to own both your brilliance and your bullshit. You have to be willing to own both your brilliance and your bullshit. And so many of us think that we are flawed, that we're fucked up, that we need to be fixed, that we're broken. And I don't believe that to be true. I know that we often have things that happen in our life that are incredibly difficult, that knock us on us at our ass, take us out at the knees. Like, we just feel like, I don't know if I can bear the weight of this thing, because some horrible and wicked hard things, right? Wicked hard shit happens to people all the time here in the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's this idea that we think, like, all these awful things that are happened to us, like, we're just like, these are bad or whatever. And I said, no, a lot of those things, when we know how to use the alchemy, when we know how to alchemize them, those things, like Joseph Campbell says, you know, the dark cave, I'm paraphrasing, the dark cave that you fear to enter holds your treasure. So for me, it's about being able to take these things that we think of as shit that needs to be fixed, and I say within them is your strength and your resiliency and your gifts as well. But we got to be willing to own how we've created survival mechanisms because of those traumas that are now no longer serving us as adults. The things we often went through as children, you know, people always say to me, do you work with kids? And I said, technically, no. I work with adults, but I'm really working with little kids and adult bodies.
Right. Oh, right. There's so many things that have happened to you and me and so many people.
To everybody who's listening, something has happened, right, that has made them to look at themselves through a less than loving lens. And I would say that part of, though, our strength, our wisdom, our genius lies within the brilliance and the bullshit. And when we're willing to understand, and we can talk more about this after the break, but when we can alchemize those things, and I have a little example so people can understand a little bit better what I'm talking about. When we alchemize those things, we understand that it is both our flawed humanity, right, our clumsiness, the things that we've done, the things we wish we didn't do, things we wish we didn't say, those experiences that were heavy, and our lightness, our divinity, our brilliance, that combination is your magic.
Yes. I agree 100%. It really wasn't until I was using my story here, like, hey, this is actually for me. it's been for me all along. Yes, it was hard, but it's been for me all along. I couldn't be where I am at all.
Sure. You wouldn't be who you are. You wouldn't be who you are without those things. And that's the path of, you know, the process I use that I call your story to your glory.
Yes.
It's being able to look at those things and saying, what in this is actually useful and valuable? What have I learned from this?
Mm-hmm.
That I can then use for myself or to possibly, depending on the line of work that you're in, help others.
Absolutely. 100%. So before we take a break, where can people find you, Karen?
KarenKenney.com, KENNEY.com.
Yeah, and isn't it Instagram? You have live next to it or something too, right?
Yeah, I didn't know how much time we had. Yeah, on Instagram, it's at Karen, you know, it's Karen Kenney Live, LIVE. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Facebook and the other places. And my podcast is The Karen Kenney Show.
Awesome. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a great show.
Are you frustrated and stuck by the endless loop of internal judgment and critical, fear-based self-talk constantly echoing in your head? Are you ready to step through the door to new ways of thinking? Tracy Berger is a certified Martha Beck Wayfinder Life Coach who can support you in transforming your thinking in both your personal and professional life. Learn more about Tracy's coaching and her April 2023 Peace and Purpose Retreat at TracyBerger.com.
New year, new home. The new home is on your list of resolutions. Now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Adobe Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today. 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Is your goal to get healthy and strong? Do you feel good in your body? Visit Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. They have served the community Ethiopian, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free food for the past 18 years. Owner Zion Tedessa also founded Sheba Farm, where she grows a gluten-free grain called teff. Zion is also the founder of Shasha Monet Institute for Alternative Holistic Natural Medicine. For more information, visit queensheba.com. That's queensheba.com. Are you an entrepreneur who's feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or anxious? Join Casey Singh, a certified life coach, on a journey of self-discovery. Tap into your inner wisdom and uncover your unique gifts, passions, and purpose. For a limited time only, get a copy of Casey's book, Go From Your Head to Your Heart, when you visit tuneintoyourheart.com. Take the first step and start living your most authentic life. Visit tuneintoyourheart.com today.
Welcome back to Transformation with Martinet, and my guest today is Karen Kenney. Story leads to your glory, and all these wonderful phrases that Karen has, and I just resonate with them so well, because as I ask you to reach a certain point in your journey, you realize how life is for you, it's not against you, that all the things that happen to you, hard, gosh, it can be so hard, and at the same time, if you take that time to break down the lessons and realize, geez, I learned so much, and other things will happen in your life, and you go back like, oh, I can handle this because of what I went through here, and all the evidence I have that I can get through this because I went what I went through here. It's amazing, I think, to just go back over and just realize how courageous and brave and resilient we as humans are.
I mean, we really are. I 100% agree. But we lose sight of that a lot of times, you know, because when you're in it, you're in it. And you're not recognizing, oh, at some point, I'll be on the other side of it, you know. And that's why, like, we can't rush that process. We can't rush forgiveness. We can't, you know, and we can't rush the whole thing. And So it can be hard to kind of see on the other side and look back and think, well, at some point I'm going to be grateful for this, you know. And the great poet Mary Oliver has a beautiful line in a poem that says, someone once gave me a box of darkness. And she says, I think the next line is something like, it took me time to realize that this too was a gift. And that's kind of how I look at things. And, you know, when I was talking about like the whole own your magic thing and the humanity and the divinity, I say try to imagine that like Merlin the Wizard was making a magic potion, or that if that doesn't resonate, I mean, I love Merlin. I've been to Merlin's cave in Tintagel in Cornwall, England. It was a game changer for me. I'm a little obsessed with all that stuff. But imagine, if you would, like three witches standing around. Like as we grew up, you know, and the witches are saying, you know, witches are vegan. I hate these examples. They'll be like, you know, I am Newt and Sprig of whatever. So I would say, like, if there are witches around a cauldron and they were making a magic potion of me, right, Karen, KK, I'm like, well, what would be in there? And I'd be like, okay, Boston accent, grew up in Lawrence, went to BU, dead murdered mother, was inappropriately touched as a child, like all the things, right? The pain, the suffering, everything would go into the pot to make the magic of me. So we don't want to cast out, you know, I know we might not want to revisit awful things. I'm not saying they feel good. And I'm not saying that you need to try and find something, you know, glorious in something awful like a rape or, you know, somebody you love dying. But I will say that the results of those things sometimes can really give us gifts and insights and, like, as you were talking about, resiliency. And, you know, it's interesting that you use the word evidence, because that's actually the working title of my memoir, is that we do gather evidence for just exactly who we are, who we really are, which I would say is either one of God's kids, or a simpler way to say it, what we really are is love. Mm-hmm. And if what we really are simply is love, then our only, and that's our identity, then life as an excuse as to why I cannot then be loving.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you know what I mean? And so a lot of times we can use these things that have happened to us as excuses and reasons as to why we can't fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why having a really great mentor or a really great coach or whatever, because there are times when we feel stuck. There are times when we can't see a different perspective, when we can't shift our mind from fear to love, and we need help from somebody. Again, a mentor's hindsight can be your foresight. And so that's what a good mentor does, is not only do they provide you with spiritual tools, if you're, like in my case, a spiritual mentor, but they provide you with tools and resources, but they're also giving you their experience, their education. They're also giving you the ability to save you time and save you suffering. So you don't have to suffer as long or as deeply. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't. You don't. And you know, like sometimes we need somebody by our side. We need somebody to see things that we don't see. We need somebody to see the goodness in us. And the, you know, I did, especially in the beginning, need somebody to believe in me, because I really didn't believe in me.
Well, 100%, and that's one of the things that I'll often say to my clients, is that I hold the vision and the strength of you, the wholeness, the happiness, like who you really are is, you know, underneath it all. Right, beyond this illusion, the body, the separation, who you really are in your original form is happy, healthy, healed, whole, and holy. And if we need somebody to remember our wholeness and our holiness, I don't mean holiness like piousness, the fact that we are an extension of love itself. Mm-hmm. We need somebody to remind us of that in two things that I think are really important. There's two different ways of saying it. You know, in A Course in Miracles, There's this line that basically says, how you see another person, every time you meet another person, remember it is a holy encounter.
Yeah.
And how you see them is how you will see yourself. How you treat them is how you treat yourself. Right. So it's really important that just even for quote-unquote selfish reasons, that we hold the highest vision of our brothers and sisters and people and friends and family around us. And there's another teacher, he's more like a neuroscience and a hypnotist teacher, John Overdorf, and the way that he kind of takes that and says it in his own way, and he's not related to A Course in Miracles, but so often, because I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for like 30 years, is that everything kind of goes through that lens sometimes where I'm like, oh, that sounds just like this. But John Overdorf says basically, a person, I'm paraphrasing, a person can only be as good, right? And that could mean as well, as healed or whatever, in your presence as they are in your mind. So when we have a loved one who is sick, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever, the greatest thing that we can give them besides our compassion and care, if we can help them, is to hold a vision of them as they really are. Yes, right? I'm a mess. Well, I'm not going to meet you at that level. That's not helpful if we're both down there holding that viewpoint. So I've got to rise above, and I have to go above the battleground, as we would say in The Course in Miracles, have a higher perspective. So because whoever is saner at the time has to hold the vision. Yeah. And when people are down in it, you don't go down there with them and stay there. You can meet them there compassionately and hold their hand and feed them soup and, you know, give them hugs and love them.
Yes.
But I'm not going to meet you down there and agree with you. And I will listen. I will unshamingly bear witness to what you're feeling. But in my mind, I don't have to say it with my mouth, but in my mind, I'm going to continue to hold a vision of them as how they, I perceive they really are.
Right.
Which is they are whole and holy and healthy and healed and happy, and that, you know, they have their own brilliance that is, call it God-given, universal, divine. I don't care what, again, what people call it, but one of the greatest gifts we can give people.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's really interesting how, you know, you talk about people and just seeing them in their light. It's like I've had a really interesting experience with a couple people just at this hotel staff.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I am, I mean, honestly, I'm a very nice, loving person. It is who I am. So I do treat people very nice. And I've just been, I don't know, drawn to a couple people. And we've had these conversations, and it's like they are. one of the staff members, like he went and got a few things for me, and he came back with this brownie. And he's like, I just want you to have this. It's like this sweet, like he just wants to be nice to me because of how I've been for him. And it's just, it's like when you are in love, more love just comes.
Talking about you, I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah.
You're quote-unquote nice to people, but I often say, you know, oh, she's a person who smiles with her mouth but not her eyes.
Right?
So people can feel your compassion, your curiosity, your leaning in towards them, and they can feel your contempt, and they can feel your judgment, even if you never say it, because it's energetic. It's energetic. So I can tell when I walk into a room and I do not feel welcome. I can tell when I go to a place, and as one of my trauma teachers, Linda Tai, says, people delight in you. People delight in you, and that's what you want. So I can tell when somebody is doing one thing with their mouth or saying one thing with their mouth, but they're out of alignment or they're incongruent. There's no congruency there, and that's why a lot of times people's businesses don't do that well. They're saying one thing, but everything else is actually projecting that energetics, and that's why I always say to my clients, hey, look, the assignment is alignment. The assignment is alignment. Facts that you can't cash because you're not actually doing that inner work and you're saying one thing but vibing in another way, it's a recipe for things not being so soothing.
No doubt. Not going to get anywhere. And that is something that it took me a while really to realize, you know, that even, you know, as a coach and marketing and all that, it's like if I'm not even like
putting a post out there or putting a call to action or whatever, if it doesn't even go out in the right energy, nobody's going to receive it. Nobody.
So it's Scott's view, which takes us all the way back full circle. I mean, people got to get right with themselves first,
yes.
Right? That's the whole thing. You got to do your own work first.
Yes.
Because anything that you're putting out there is just an extension. It's like an imprint. It's like, A Course in Miracles, we'd say, it is an outward picture, an outward reflection of an inward condition.
For sure. Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we're constantly broadcasting who we are, what we think, what we feel. So we have to get aligned and congruent within ourselves first before we start to try and lead anybody else, coach anybody else, do anything else. And it's an ongoing thing because this being human is an ongoing problem. We're constantly in an evolution and we're constantly on a quest. There's no like, oh, I'm spiritual now, I've arrived. That's not how this works.
No, no. And it says, I don't, I was talking to another, you know, colleague the other day, just like, we can't be trying to take someone somewhere we haven't gone. It doesn't even work. Can't do that.
You can point directions, but you can't actually offer them anything valuable or helpful if you haven't experienced it and embodied it and spent some time with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we are going to take a break again, and then, Karen, I would love it if you just shared some of your tools in your toolbox there.
When we come back?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Is your goal to get healthy and strong? Do you feel good in your body? Visit Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. They have served the community Ethiopian, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free food for the past 18 years. Owner Zion Tedessa also founded Sheba Farm, where she grows a gluten-free grain called teff. Zion is also the founder of Shasha Monet Institute for Alternative Holistic Natural Medicine. For more information, visit queensheba.com. That's queensheba.com. Are you an entrepreneur who's feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or anxious? Join Casey Singh, a certified life coach, on a journey of self-discovery. Tap into your inner wisdom and uncover your unique gifts, passions, and purpose. For a limited time only, get a copy of Casey's book, Go From Your Head to Your Heart, when you visit tuneintoyourheart.com. Take the first step and start living your most authentic life. Visit tuneintoyourheart.com today.
New year, new home. The new home is on your list of resolutions. Now is the time to call Daniel Gomery with the Gomery Home Team at Adobe Real Estate. Daniel is an experienced real estate broker and Michigan realtor who knows how to navigate this shifting market, and he knows how to deliver results, whether buying or selling. Get the results you deserve and call Daniel today. 586-260-8118. That's 586-260-8118.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Karen Kenny, and we've been talking about all things transformation, a lot of good book recommendations. Make sure you go back and listen if you're just, you know, you're catching the end, or go back and listen to the whole show. There's all kinds of good tips, not just on books, but just so many different things. This is a great show. So, Karen, we talked a little bit on break, and I know this all depends on the person, the circumstance, where you are, where they are in life.
Mm-hmm.
How would you handle someone who just perhaps, you could be anywhere, could be at one of your events, it could be at a Starbucks, it could be anywhere, that just happened to ask you about forgiveness perhaps? Like, how would you forgive your mother, your father?
Well, so as I was saying on the break, it would really depend on what they were talking about. There's so many layers to it, right? And I think that we have a lot of, one of the cool things about it, having a lot of different tools, is that I can kind of trust my intuition, my inner teacher, to guide me as to maybe what to say and what to share. You know, and it depends on what the thing is. You know, here's the thing in the spiritual community. Spiritual people love to tell you, and even in A Course in Miracles would tell you that that forgiveness is the key to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is the key to happiness. And I do know through my own journey of trying and succeeding and forgiving the guy that murdered my mother, that was a tall ask. But I didn't do it for him. I didn't do it for his soul. Mm-hmm. I did it for me. I did it for me because I was creating a prison of my own making. And if I was going to put him in prison, right, for being a coward and a violent, you know, bastard or whatever I wanted to call him at the time, I'm like, the thing about putting somebody in a prison in your mind is that you then have to be the jailer. You have to be the god and you have to be the warden. And at the end of the day, the prisoners don't go home. You stay in there with them because you're holding the key. So for me, and again, I'm not going to tell anybody who, when, and why they should forgive. I do have some caveats, but I will say this. I didn't want to be in prison with that murderer anymore. I wanted to let myself out. So I had to take my own steps to do it. But I will say this. There was no getting to forgiveness without me first going through the pain and the terror and the rage and the anger. I was only really able to forgive that person because I let myself feel and think and say all the awful things that I wanted to feel, think, and say to him. And it was a complicated journey. And I would say, read the memoir when it comes out. When that time comes, you'll get the longest story to that. But if somebody just came up to me and was like, I really need to forgive my mother or my father, I would probably then ask some specific questions, which was like what happened? Because sometimes people need an unshaming witness to hear the story first. And then I would ask them, why do you want to forgive them, perhaps? Because sometimes people think they just should.
Right.
And I'm like, you can't rush this process. You get to forgive people in your own time and in your own way and when you feel ready because you want to, not because some book or some religion or somebody else said, you have to do this. When you start to get a sneaking, like I'm touching my nose right now, like if you start to get a sneaking suspicion that something is starting to smell funny, like you're starting to sit in, I call it sitting in the shitty diaper, right? When you're sitting in the wound too long and it starts to fester, when you start to self-realize that I need to do something because now this is stopping me, this is keeping me stuck, this is making me suffer, now it's no longer what that person did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 days ago, it's what I'm continuing to drag forward from what happened. What is the meaning I've assigned to this thing and all that stuff? So there are lots of different tools. Some happiness and well-being for 30 days, and either your mind will change or they'll change or you won't care anymore, right? I mean, there's 1,000 different ways, and again, it depends on who I'm talking to, what tools. Well, like subconscious programming tools. Maybe we'll do some tapping. Maybe we'll do some bilateral stimulation. Maybe we'll do some things to literally shift your mind out of that place to stop the anxiety of that memory or whatever. So there's no one prescription. I think the first step is getting clear on, I'm starting to feel like I need to do this and I want to do this and I don't know if I'm ready to do it, but I want to be ready. I'm willing to be ready.
Right.
Mm. For your own peace of mind. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's not about the other person, you know. But when you forgive somebody else, you're also forgiving yourself. We're all minds are joined. We're all connected. Just like we were talking about, somebody can feel your contempt whether you say it or not. They can feel your judgment whether your big mouth says it out loud or not. So we can feel that linkage. And when we're ready to say, like, you know, it's not about setting them free. It's about setting you free. But when you set yourself free, it's like everybody benefits.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be weighed down. I remember one time I was doing this thing in California. I did a couple of them. I forget. One of them just came right up to me and said, aren't you exhausted? And I was like, What do you mean? Aren't you so tired of dragging your dead mother's bloody body around behind you everywhere you go? And I was like, whoa. And they're like, can you please let the woman rest? Set her down already. And I was like, what the fuck? But it, like, all of a sudden I realized, like, I'm over here dragging this thing around and I'm leaving. Now I'm the one. I'm the one leaving the bloody mess. So I had to get out of that victimization. I had to change my story because it was no longer serving me anymore either. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100% it does. Oh, and that's creative. I've never heard it like that before. You
and
know,
that's what I say to people. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, carrying the weight of trauma, carrying the weight of these. Like, I think a lot of what pops in my mind first off is the first man that molested me. He was this big guy with this big belly and these overalls. I hate overalls. I still hate overalls, which I guess I'm carrying still a little bit if I still hate overalls.
Well,
know.
And there, and if you want it, but here's the thing. If you, I'm not going to say to you, you should get over overalls.
Yeah,
if you said to me, I saw these really cute overalls and I want to be able to wear them, I would say there's tools to help you shift your mind over that reaction to the overalls.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say to you, you should get forgive that guy and get over the overalls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it has to be self-directed that people want to learn tools and skill sets and practices to be able to self-resource.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not waiting for the world to show up the way that we need to feel safe, that we can try to learn how to move through the world with more fun, flow, and freedom, because we've learned self-resourcing skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work I love to do, is to help people learn how to help themselves.
For sure. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, so we just have just a minute or so left.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like, just, I guess in a nutshell, just what do you want to leave somebody with 1 minute left? And just
No pressure at all.
Just get it all in that little minute.
I think the thing is that we feel like we're stuck and we feel like we have to do it all on our own and we feel like we have to figure it all out. And I always say to people, your best thinking is what got you here, where you are right now, wherever you're suffering. So one of the greatest investments you can make, and whether it's getting a library card where you can get something for free, or listening to our podcast, or finding a coach or a mentor. It's like, try to find ways, and I understand about economic disparity and different things, but there are free resources and free tools. So I just want to encourage people to follow their curiosity, empower themselves, ask for help, try to find ways so that you can return to love, so that you can own your magic, so you can transform your story to your glory, because you deserve it. It is your natural birthright, happiness, and peace.
Mm, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and your wisdom and on all that you do for this world. This has been a really good show. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And please join us next week at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, every Friday. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for listening, if you're listening.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Reach out to me if you have an awesome story you want to share as well. See you next Friday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Transformation with Martinet, real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. Listen or watch live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Martinet and her guests have deep, meaningful conversations, sharing empowering stories. Step into your passion and lead with your heart. If you are ready to accept and love you for you, visit MartinetEmmons.com and start allowing transformation to happen today.
You've just
just heard an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network. For more information about the network, visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, not KKNW.
This is 1150 AM KKNW Seattle and KPNW 98.9 FM HD3 Seattle. And good Monday morning to you and happy President's Day. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. We're over on 405 northbound, just north of Northeast 124th Street, around Mile Post 21, a recent collision partially blocked in the center lane. Medical aid fire assistance have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision. Stay tuned, coming up next, after the news weather, it's Tech It Out Radio with your host, Mark Saltzman.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. President Biden made a surprise visit to Ukraine today, just days ahead of the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion. He met with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and announced the U.S.